africaine et parce qu'il fallait une
Oh, you didn't know? It's me, it's that D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James. And you're listening on the SNS radio network. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn.
My name is Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Hey, it's Road Radimal. What a rush.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, stay tuned or you will feel bang.
I am the genius full of glory and renown, Lanny Poppins.
What's up, all you stars and stars? This is Mariette.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be ya.
The world is listening.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
You are now jacked in to the virtual matrix. Please stand by for all the latest in professional wrestling, video gaming, movies, and entertainment with Chris Kelly of HeadlocksToHeadlines.com and the latest in video gaming with the sensational sequel.
What?
Yes, he's back. And here is your host,
the Force is strong with you. Henceforth, you shall be known as
Mr. Money on the Mic, J.J. Sexy.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth.
Reach out of space.
All right, guys, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Unplugged right here on the SNS Radio Network. Of course, I am Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps, Sexay. And, you know, normally on a Friday night, I'd be hanging out with the fucking foreign kid, Dances with Dildos, as we've now, you know, come to name him again, Chris Kelly, headlocks2headlines.com. Unfortunately tonight, Krelly not in attendance. He's out pissing it up for his birthday. So right off the top, even though Krelly's not here, I want to wish him a happy 21st birthday. Damn that kid for not even calling in and being a part of the show for at least 5 minutes so we could wish him a happy birthday. But he's probably unconscious right now. So it is what it is. But happy birthday goes out to the fucking foreign kid. Krell's, I think, turns 21, so congratulations to him. Who knows what kind of trouble he's getting in as we're speaking right now. But that would make for a good story when he does tell us about it, right? I'm going to be real honest with you tonight. I'm going to review SmackDown, but I'm going to basically read you the spoilers because, you know what? I didn't see the show tonight. I saw bits and pieces. I had a late night tonight, so I haven't really had a chance to sit down and watch the show. It is PVR'd, but you know, I'll fill in the blanks and let you know what did happen according to my spoiler sheet here, or I guess the result sheet, since it's not really a spoiler since it's already aired on TV, but I'll let you guys know. And, of course, I'll be doing the news of the week, sponsored, of course, by myself and headlocks2headlines.com. So no Austin Powers music in the background playing this week. It's just plain old JJ Sexay. Going to be an interesting show regardless. I am going to open up the phone lines earlier than usual. After I do the news, I'll basically open up the lines and get you guys' thoughts on some of the things we've covered in the news. The second hour, we're going to be talking to the sensational sequel, Sean, I think. I think he's back this week. I don't know. We'll play that one by ear, too. Could be an interesting show tonight on Unplugged. But with that being said, why don't we go ahead and talk about what happened on the latest edition of SmackDown going into this Sunday's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. We start things off on SmackDown tonight with Booker T introducing the world heavyweight champion, Mark Henry. Says that Henry was one of the first people to congratulate because he knows how hard it was for Henry to climb that mountain. Henry says Booker must think that he's better than Mark Henry since he's won the belt 6 times. And Booker basically comes off and says, look, man, I'm not trying to insult you. Henry cuts him off and pretty much lets him know that he was not finished with what he was saying. He said, why would he try to insult him and then kiss his ass in the same sentence? Booker says he would know if he insulted him, and Henry says Booker would know if he put him through the announce table. He says he's not there to deal with Booker tonight. He's there to deal with Randy Orton. Henry references Night of Champions. That was about winning the championship, but Sunday is about inducting Randy Orton into the coveted Hall of Pain. And he has just the spot for Randy Orton's head right next to the other men that he's taken. Now, a little foreshadowing. Perhaps we may see some interference this Sunday from the Big Show and Kane. Maybe that's the direction that they're headed in. The crowd, of course, is booing Henry maliciously. He says, keep it up, because he's going to hurt Orton and end his career. Booker asks why he can't concentrate on being the best champion he can be and try to get the fans behind him. Henry says he did all that shit for 15 years, and it got him nowhere. Now, granted, he didn't say shit on the broadcast. I'm just filling in the blanks here. Would have been a much more entertaining program had he said that, though, I think. He says he's going to be the most dominant champion in the history of SmackDown. And Booker says he needs to ask, but he wants to know what happens if Orton hits the RKO. Henry says it's not going to happen. He says everyone knows it won't happen. And Orton is not going to beat him. and neither will the Great Khali in their match tonight. So our first match of the night is Mark Henry versus Khali. And pretty dominant match here as Khali is destroyed by Mark Henry. And he finishes it off, of course, with the world's strongest slam for the win. Now, I do like the fact that they are making Henry this certifiable monster. I mean, when you look at the landscape of the WWE, especially, well, whether it's SmackDown or Raw, and you look at the guys that he's taken out. Big Show, the biggest guy on the roster. Khali, one of the biggest guys on the roster. You know, Kane, another big guy on the roster, which pretty much leaves Mark Henry as that fill-in big guy on the roster. So I like where this is going, and it's going to be interesting to see how things pan out on Sunday, considering that 2 weeks after Sunday, or maybe 3 weeks after Sunday, we've got another pay-per-view from the WWE called Vengeance. Who knew? Kind of getting sick of the three WWE pay-per-views in 1 month. Anybody else kind of get that, well, not 1 month, but three within the course of about a month? It's kind of getting ridiculous. Oh, let's see what happens next. Evan Bourne alongside Kofi Kingston taking on Jack Swagger, who has Vicky Guerrero and Dolph Ziggler in his corner. Your winner is Jack Swagger as he puts Evan Bourne in the ankle lock, and he proceeds to tap out. It looks like they're setting up for a tag team match at the pay-per-view on Sunday. It's going to be Dolph Ziggler and obviously Jack Swagger taking on Air Boom, possibly for the championship. I don't know how keen I am as to putting them together as a tag team. I'd be better off with it if Dolph Ziggler wasn't the U.S. champion. But, I mean, I guess to set it off in a one-off where there's friction between the two and they split up and Ziggler goes his own way, that might be the best way to do this. So if it's a one-off and they're not really going after the championship per se, then I'm okay with this. Next up, we have Sin Cara versus Heath Slater. And, of course, Sin Cara wins this match. The other Sin Cara appears, takes off his mask, and reveals a black one underneath. He says that Cara, who's in the ring, stole his identity once as Mystico, and he is going to do the same to him. And they will find out on Sunday who the real Sin Cara is. You know, at first I thought this feud was going to kind of suck, but, you know, I'm willing to give it a chance. I'm rooting for the black mask Sin Cara, though. I'm rooting for Hunico. Got to be honest. I'm not a big fan of Mystico. You know, I've seen his stuff in Mexico, and I know what the guy can do, but I'm not impressed as far as his WWE run is concerned. We have a backstage meeting with John Laurinaitis and some of the superstars. He talks about the frustration. He's been waiting all week to see Triple H. He says there's only so much he can do. David Otunga talks about his law degree. Christian says everyone he knows also has experience with this. And Dolph asks if everyone is in for this Monday. Otunga says they all need to relax and everything will be taken care of on Raw. So the plot thickens, folks. Kelly Kelly versus Natalya. Gee, who knew? Natalya loses this match and Kelly Kelly wins. I just really don't know about this Kelly Kelly run. I mean, obviously we have a match with her and Beth Phoenix on Sunday. Why do I feel like Beth Phoenix is going to come a little short and Kelly Kelly is going to retain a championship? She is awful in the fucking ring. Now, I didn't see the match tonight, so I'm not going to comment on it. But what I did see on Monday was pretty fucking horrific by Kelly Kelly. I mean, this is just the office, you know, project here. Let's make Kelly Kelly a Divas champion. Let's try to make her a Candice Michelle, because that's kind of what she reminds me of. Candice Michelle was shitty in the ring, but the people got behind her, much like they do with Kelly Kelly. So we'll see where it goes. Next up, we have the Intercontinental Championship up for grabs, Sheamus versus Cody Rhodes. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, as I pull this up again here, Cody loses the match by disqualification, I think. So Sheamus wins by disqualification because Christian comes in and interferes and drops Sheamus with the Celtic, or excuse me, not the Celtic Cross, with the kill switch. So there you go. Oh, wow. I'm just reading this for the first time. Zack Ryder took on JTG. This is the first time JTG's been on SmackDown in how long, guys? When was the last time that JTG was actually on the SmackDown roster to do a match? This was obviously a pretty quick match, and Zack Ryder hits the Rough Rider on JTG for the win. Next up, we have Christian and Randy Orton in what I believe is the main event of the night. Everything I've read so far, pretty good match between the two. But in the end, Christian comes down to interfere. The referee ends up counting both men out, so it's kind of a no contest. At the end of the match, we have Cody Rhodes run out and interfere as well, and actually hits his beautiful disaster on Randy Orton. Sheamus runs down to make the save and chases Christian through the crowd. Mark Henry comes down to the ring. Orton gets up and attacks Henry, goes for an RKO. Henry counters and drops him with a World's Strongest Slam. Henry then decides he's going to go get a chair, but he's caught off guard. Orton leaps up and hits him with the RKO and stands over him. Orton poses on the turnbuckle as Henry rolls out of the ring, and that is how SmackDown ends tonight, the go-home show going in to Hell in a Cell this Sunday, where Randy Orton will get another shot, his rematch clause, against the champion, Mark Henry. So all in all, from everything I've read, looks like a pretty good show. I'd grade it, but again, didn't see it. So that is your SmackDown review for tonight. So let's go ahead and talk some of the bigger news stories that have happened this week, because, man, there's a bunch. A lot that I want to talk about as far as this goes. You know, I don't know how many times we have said this on this show, on Wrestling News Live. If you are under contract to a wrestling company and you have a guaranteed contract, you know, and I don't care if you're making $250,000 a year. I don't care if you're making, you know, $1 million a year. Can somebody explain to me, when you go out drinking with your friends, why you don't have the decency or the fucking intelligence to call a cab? Or, here's a thought, to find a designated driver to take you from point A to point B. I mean, we've seen this in the past with Kurt Angle. We've seen it multiple times with Matt Hardy recently. Alex Riley this year as well. And now adding to the ranks, one of the sons of Rikishi, Jimmy Uso. And not only was Jimmy Uso found driving drunk, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no, it gets worse than that. He was literally twice the allotted alcohol limit. Twice. Unbelievable. 0.08 level is the legal limit. Yeah, more than twice the 0.08 level at which a driver is assumed impaired under state law. He was at 0.180. He was arrested early Thursday for driving under the influence in Tampa, Florida. They observed Jimmy Uso traveling the wrong way in his silver Mustang going down Howard Avenue. Unbelievable. Now, I don't know what the WWE is going to do here. I don't know if they are going to suspend him. I don't know if he's getting fined. I don't know if this is a possible release. But with Linda McMahon making it known that she is going to run for Senate again, and with all eyes on the WWE, I would think this probably has to have some sort of repercussions. And it's sad that a guy so young in his career makes a mistake like this. Because not only did he possibly ruin his career, but he's got a brother who could possibly lose his job over this too if they do indeed fire them. You know, if they had any inkling of giving these guys a push, that's kind of thrown out the window. You know, and what would have happened if Jimmy Uso would have killed somebody? Would have ran over a little girl or a little boy? Or would have collided with oncoming traffic and killed a family of five? The story would be a lot worse. I like the Usos, but I've lost a little bit of respect for Jimmy Uso. I have never in my life driven a car drunk. For a majority of my life, I was always a designated driver. When I go out to have fun, whether it's going out karaoke, whether I go to a sports bar and have a few drinks, if I'm drinking heavily, I don't drive. I mean, that's the responsible thing to do. And I have a serious problem with this. You guys have heard me come down on the TNA roster. Well, I'm coming down on this. And I think that this deserves major repercussions by the WWE. Now, he's young enough that he can rebound from this and hopefully learn from his mistakes. But repercussions need to happen. I'm sorry. That's pretty classless. You know, and if I'm Jey Uso, I'm kicking his ass. If I'm Rikishi, I'm sticking him up my ass. But that's just my two cents. Let's see some of the other news. Apparently, the WWE is advertising a possible, well, they're advertising a DX reunion for the October 11th SmackDown taping in Dallas, Texas. The show is being promoted as a super show event featuring stars from both Raw and SmackDown, reports ProWrestling.net, which is pretty much what they've been doing for a long time. But now it's apparent that Shawn Michaels might be coming back to the roster, at least for one night only. Not necessarily to wrestle, but I'm sure that he'll have some sort of interaction with Triple H, as this whole conspiracy behind who's really running the company might get, you know, where does Shawn Michaels stand on Kevin Nash being fired by Triple H? Is he standing by his buddy, or what's going to happen there? There's a lot of interesting things that could develop from this particular thing. On a sad note, Rey Mysterio underwent another surgery this past week on his knee to reinforce the PCL, reports the PWInsider.com. No word at this time as to how much longer this will keep Mysterio out of the ring. I'd have to think that he's going to be out for quite a while. You know, and I've said this many times before, I like Rey Mysterio. I think he's a fantastic worker. I was never keen on him being the World Heavyweight Champion because of his size. But as far as someone who earned that right, he has earned that. I'll give him that. But when you've had, I don't know, fucking 20 surgeries on your knees, I think it's time to you know, hang up the tights, take off the mask, and go on with other things in your life. That might be the best thing for Ray at this point. But sad to hear Ray's going under the knife once again. You know, you look at the roster, and you look at the guys who are chronically having injuries. You know, guys like Triple H, guys like, you know, Shawn Michaels even. The Undertaker, who comes back every year and is out for 6 to 7, 8 months, recovering from his WrestleMania match. It's just sad when a guy like Rey Mysterio can come back for about a month or two and then pop that knee out again and be gone for another 8 months. It's really sad, and I just, you know, this point in time, it might be something to consider. Maybe, you know, hang him up, Ray. Hate to see you go, but you don't want to be crippled, man. You want to be able to, like, play with your kids and your grandkids one day. You don't want to be in a wheelchair. Apparently, the early estimates for SummerSlam are in. It did 301,000 buys worldwide, with 174,000 domestic, according to a report by the Wrestling Observer. Based on those early estimates, it would come in as the lowest domestic buy rate for SummerSlam in the WWE's history. The worldwide buy rate is down 14% from last year's domestic number, is down 12% from last year. The 2010 show did 349,000 buys and 209 domestic. If you go back even further, the 2009 show drew 369,000 worldwide, and 2008 drew 477 worldwide. So 447,000 in 2008, and this year they can't even crack 300,001. That is pathetic. That shows you how much the wrestling business right now is in the fucking toilet. Unbelievable. The WWE has confirmed the release date of the new Steve Austin 4-disc DVD. It will be making the rounds on November 29th. I'll be sure to pick this one up because it looks great. Let's see, what else is in the news? Ah, this is kind of a good story, actually. For those of you old school wrestling fans, you might have heard of the Rougeau brothers. Ray Rougeau and, of course, his brother Jacques, who went on to become the Mountie, and then one half of the French Canadians in WCW. Well, according to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, former WWF wrestler Raymond Rougeau used his own plane to rescue a 77-year-old friend lost in the woods in northern Quebec back on September the 18th. They had scheduled to meet up at a remote camp to head out on a hunting trip, but Rougeau's friend failed to show up. Rougeau piloted his seaplane as part of the Quebec Provincial Police search and discovered the man with his broken-down truck after covering about 500 kilometers of ground. The friend had been stranded for 2 days but was in good health. Good for Ray Rougeau. That makes him a hero in my book. He competed in the WWF from 1985 to 1990 as one half of the Fabulous Rougeaus alongside his brother Jacques. And he was also a French language announcer for the company up until about 2002. So that is at least a nice uplifting story for from some of the stories I have tonight, because they're not all great. And I don't know if you guys have seen all the promotion, or well, I wouldn't say promotion, but all the news regarding the Hulkster as of late. he recently did an interview where he talks about living in a rental house, his home that was estimated at about $25 million. He slashed the price down to, I think, what was it, $11 million? Man, hard times for the Hulkster. He's looking for somebody to buy that house quickly so he can make a little bit of money off of it. You know, we're talking about one of the, probably the most famous, most notable wrestler in the history of the business. A guy who prided himself on putting wrestling on the map. A guy who at every turn talked about when the old guys grow old, they're all broke. You know, look at me. I've been good with my money. Look at me. I'm in the greatest shape ever. That's very reminiscent of 2005 when he was inducted in the Hall of Fame. If you watched Hogan Knows Best, he talks about all those guys that were inducted that year, and he looked better than all of them. Well, you know, karma's a bitch, Hogan, because your past finally caught up with you. The brother is broke. Hulkamania is dead, ladies and gentlemen. D-A-A-D. Dead. And apparently, Hulk Hogan has inked a deal with Sports Nutritional Innovations Incorporated. And here's the official story on this. Delray Beach, Florida. Hulk Hogan, known worldwide as one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time, has teamed up with Sports Nutritional Innovations Incorporated to bring consumers a new online nutrition store, HoganNutrition.com. The site will feature thousands of products from major top brands, making it a one-stop shop where all the Hulkamaniacs can fulfill their nutritional needs. With the venture, Hogan has partnered with Mitch Gould, CEO of Sports Nutritional Innovations Incorporated. HoganNutrition.com will offer the best nutritional supplements in the world at affordable prices, says Gould. I'm extremely excited to partner with SNI to help people get the nutritional products and supplements they need to get in shape and build muscle, Hogan says. It will not only help people take their vitamins every day, brother, but give them an easy and affordable way to do so. Wow. So once again, Hogan has branched off and doing something else that's going to garner him money because he's broke. Why do you think he does Rent-A-Center commercials? Because he's broke. Wow. I guess we'll have to wait and see exactly how this is going to play out with this particular endeavor for Hogan. Apparently, HoganNutrition.com is slated to launch in October of 2011. Now, according to an article by The Pilot, WWE and TNA star Matt Hardy was forced into rehab or would have been placed in a detention center under a $1 million bond. As we all remember, Hardy had announced via YouTube that he would be heading to rehab with the help from the WWE. This was part of Hardy's release order when he was arrested for the third time in about a month span. So if you were wondering why he was so emotional, it's because he was forced, ladies and gentlemen, to go to rehab. Working the internet one idiot at a time, I guess. I don't know. Matt Hardy's motto, I think. And apparently, the WWE have filled out the position in the company for the vice president of talent relations, Apparently, Jane Geddes, formerly of the LPGA, is now the new vice president of talent relations. Now, she's not replacing John Laurinaitis, as some people have recently said in the last couple of weeks. She's working underneath him, which kind of means that Laurinaitis has been promoted to executive senior. So that pretty much means that Jane Geddes will be bringing him coffee and pretty much doing whatever he asks her to do. Basically, she's a yes woman for Johnny Ace. So congratulations to Jane Geddes. Here's another sad story. A former pro wrestler was shot by Manhattan police. He's died. John Collado, 43, who police say had a plainclothes detective in a chokehold, was shot on Post Avenue in Inwood at about 5 p.m. on Tuesday. Collado died 12 hours later at the Harlem Hospital. Police source said Collado lifted the cop more than a foot off the ground and was still able to grab a gun and fire backwards into Collado's chest. This is the police officer, obviously. So he lifted this guy about a foot off the ground, and the officer shot him in the chest. Collado's family says that he was trying to break up what he thought was a fight between the cop and a man, identified as Rangel Batista. Collado and Batista were friends. Collado thought his friend was being robbed, says Patrick Brackley, the family's lawyer. The cop turned around and shot Collado in the stomach and ends up killing him, says Brackley, adding that the family will file a wrongful death lawsuit. Collado's niece, Benyanza Tavares, saw the aftermath of the shooting from across the street. She's a phlebotomist at the Cooler Goldwater Hospital on Reservoir Island. So that's an interesting little story there. I've never heard of John Collado, so obviously he didn't make it to the pro ranks. But sad story nonetheless. As far as TNA news is concerned, apparently Hernandez's TNA contract is set to expire soon, and word is he hasn't negotiated a new one. So be interesting to see what Hernandez's next move is. The WWE has released some people as of late. Son of legendary, a lot of people remember him as a stooge, Gerald Briscoe. Wes Briscoe has been released from his developmental deal in FCW. And apparently, Gail Kim has officially been removed from WWE.com. On August 5th, Kim had said she quit, but said the company wouldn't release her and kept her under contract so she couldn't work anywhere else. Kim had the following to say on Twitter today, once her profile was removed. Yeah, I guess they're slow. Cuffs have been off since last week. So, interesting. We talked about Stone Cold Steve Austin's DVD earlier. Well, apparently, Hall of Famer Stone Cold Steve Austin did an interview for the UK's Daily Star and said the following. Well, I don't think Del Rio is ready to carry the belt. It's okay for a short period of time, give him his first mini title run, try to groom him. He's still got another year or two before he learns the U.S. system. He's a good-looking kid. I know he's been around Mexico and MMA. When I look at the company right now, John Cena is the guy who anchors it all. Some people get mad because they feel like WWE shove it down your throat. But he's the main guy. Whether you love him or you hate him, or you love to hate him, you got to respect him. I have a lot of respect for John. He's been carrying the company for several years. He comes into work every day with a smile on his face and does all the promotional work and never complains. I tell you, John has had some great matches with some great guys. Sometimes his body of work gets overlooked. The guy has proven himself over and over again. I call a spade, and John has done a tremendous job. He's got a few years left yet. He'll keep riding that lightning bolt. So apparently Stone Cold Steve Austin does not think that Alberto Del Rio is ready to be that main event guy. And maybe he's right to a degree. And I've often said that I have respect for John Cena, but I'm just really sick of him being the guy. I would like to see somebody else take that spot for a while. Please. You're never going to build talent if you just rely on one guy all the time. And that's pretty much all the news of the week that I got, guys. That's pretty much all the major stuff. So I tell you what, I'm going to open up the phone lines. So if you want to call in and chime in on anything that we've talked about here so far tonight, I say we. I don't have a mouse in my pocket. So if you want to talk about anything that I've covered tonight, feel free to do so. The number to call, 501-588-7957. If you're in the chat room and you want it to be toll-free, use the Call Me widget. If you're on Skype, just add me to Skype, and those are the ways that you can call in to the show and be a part of the program. But on that note, I'm glad that it's Friday. Tomorrow should be a relaxing day. I'm actually looking forward to Sunday, even though there's only, like, what, 4 matches announced for Hell in a Cell? I think it's, like, 4 matches. Well, 5, I guess, now with Sin Cara. So it should be an interesting show, to say the least. But I tell you what, let's go to the phone lines. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
What's up, JJ? This is Mike, man.
Mike, what is on your mind, man?
Friday night at work, weekend coming up. Hey, couldn't get no better.
Got any big plans for the weekend?
Just to watch the Alabama with Florida ass all over the place Saturday night. That's about it.
Foosball. Foosball's the devil.
Well, you know, down south, that's our religion, football.
You know, that's
in Alabama.
That's not me talking. That would be Bobby Boucher's mama.
I'm like you. I'm tired of John Cena, but I just thought about what Stone Cold said. I mean, who could you give to take it to that next level? I mean, Jericho's gone, Batista gone, Shawn Michaels gone. You know, Triple H, he's the COO now. But I'm like, who could you get to main event that would make us say, man, I got to see that main event? I mean, now I think about it, ain't really nobody. I mean, who you think on that roster could be like, you know, I mean, carry it? I mean, do you know somebody?
The only two that I could think off the top of my head that could probably fill that role would be Miz as a face,
mm-hmm,
or CM Punk. You know, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, I think Ziggler needs a little work, but I think he's got potential to be that guy. I gave up on Morrison. He'll never be that guy.
No, he ain't even. And like I said, the SummerSlam buy rate, I mean, that card sucked. I mean, I could see why it was the lowest buy rate. It was like one year. They booked it as one of their B-level pay-per-views, and this is supposed to be your second biggest pay-per-view of the year. I mean, that card, it sucked. I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't order it. I usually order SummerSlam every year, but I'm like, we got all these recycled matches. I mean, like, it wasn't, besides Cena and Punk did, it wasn't nothing on there that really caught the wrestling fans' eye.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, that was pretty much the match that made people buy the pay-per-view, but I mean, it's been a steady trend for years now. I mean, every year the buy rate gets lower and lower and lower.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, hopefully this year stuff will pick up with The Rock coming back. And, you know, TNA, this whole Hulk Hogan is leaving TNA, I just thought about it. It's a work. I looked at his promo Thursday. Then after what you just said, the guy is basically broke. So you think he's going to leave a company while he's making $1 million a year not doing nothing? Basically.
Oh, he's not making that. He's not making that, Mike. And I do think he's leaving. Let me tell you why. He's never done a damn thing to promote that company. Never. Not in the 2 years he's been there has he ever said anything positive about TNA Wrestling. It's always been about his outside projects. It was on American Idol. Was there any mention of TNA? No. He promotes Micro Championship Wrestling with midgets. Do you hear him promote TNA? No. Of course not. I absolutely think he's leaving, and let me tell you why. Hulk Hogan is broke. That means only one thing. He calls up Vince McMahon. Hey, brother. And I can almost guarantee you that he will be at WrestleMania in Miami, Florida. I fucking bet you money that he ends up hosting the fucking event and ends up signing some sort of contract with the WWE, not to wrestle, maybe to be an announcer, maybe to be a broadcaster, who knows. But I'm telling you now, don't think for 2 seconds that Vince McMahon won't bring Hulk Hogan back to TV. Because to the WWE, Hogan is a legit guy.
Yeah. And you're right. Basically, I think they really need each other right about now. So, yeah, you make a good point on that. They need each other. I think Vince needs Hogan, you know, to get the ratings up a little bit, and Hogan needs Vince. So right now, I think they basically need each other.
Well, you know, I just see that as a way of him trying to get some money, trying to get back into the spotlight. I mean, obviously, the WWE is the premier company in North America as far as viewership goes. You know, nobody knows anything about TNA. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he was the mole sent to TNA to fuck it up. I mean, let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but, you know, TNA, I like direction because they're, like, pushing Bobby Roode to be their main guy. So if they keep on doing that and, you know, he wins the title at the upcoming pay-per-view, I mean, I like direction. I mean, I think they push Bobby Roode, just push that younger talent, you know. Like I said, get rid of Hogan and fade Flair out. You know, like I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, just if your company dying, at least give your young stars a chance, you know. You can say, well, we tried to push the young stars and nobody still looked at it, so it just wasn't meant to be.
Well, you know, I really hope that they go forward with this. Bobby Roode is a guy that I've always said is very talented, could be a world champion. And, you know, if that's the way that they're going, I mean, you'd have to think a guy like Kurt Angle would do Bobby Roode such an honor by putting him over. And I think that's the direction that they're going. I mean, let's face it. How many DUIs has Kurt Angle had this year? You know, I'm surprised he still has the belt. Let's put it on a guy who, granted, might be with beer money, but at least he's not, you know, fucking getting arrested for DUIs here.
I mean, I think that's why they didn't take him off, because they want to put over. Then, actually, Kurt Angle and Cowboy James Storm had a match last week, and I forgot how good a wrestler Cowboy James Storm was. I mean, that was a hell of a match. So if they're going to break up beer money and make our James Storm a couple of months, I hope they do it slowly. You know, where you see the judge. I mean, I really like the direction why they're just going to put, which that's what they're saying, they're going to put all the young wrestlers in the forefront. Like, they're putting more emphasis on the X Division. You know, that was a crappy ladder match that day. They shouldn't do cheesy ladder matches.
Oh, I agree.
I think that kind of kills their credibility.
I agree. You know, and you talk about James Storm. You know, I was never a big fan of America's Most Wanted. Let me put that out there now. I never liked Chris Harris. I still don't like Chris Harris. I know Trey is like his biggest fanboy, and that's cool. But I always thought James Storm was a much better wrestler than Chris Harris. When they broke up America's Most Wanted and James Storm went on his singles run and had Jackie alongside with him, I thought they were doing a fantastic job until they put those two together as beer money. Now, granted, they're a fantastic team. But
yeah, they're one of the best teams.
My biggest fear is that when they split these guys up, they might bring Chris Harris back into the fold and reunite America's Most Wanted. And once again, you've got James Storm, who's odd man out, and he's back in a tag team. I'd rather see him have a nice singles run, maybe go after the, you know, one of the titles, whether it's the television title or whatever the hell that title is Eric Young has, or, you know, something. I'd like to see him even be a viable contender for, say, Bobby Roode in the future. But I think he's a fantastic singles wrestler, and it would be nice to see that tag team kind of split up and, you know, and go into some singles dominance, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think Hernandez is going to head to the WWE because, man, he has mic skills, he has the size, he has the muscle, but once again, they just kind of they keep on sticking him in, like, Mexican tag teams instead of just, you know, trying to push him as a single wrestler. I mean, as far as a big man who can move and agile, I mean, did you see the splash that he did off the top rope? I mean, so I never understood that, so I think quite possibly he's going to be headed to the WWE because right now he's just a, you know, he's always stuck in tag team.
Well, you know, they tried to give him a push a couple years ago, as memory recalls, and it didn't last very long. I think that they lost confidence in him pretty quick.
Oh, same way they did with Joe, because they, like, even gained, like, what, 75 pounds back, and he, like,
oh,
you
God.
Know, fuck it, I don't give a fuck, I'll be every week, just pay me.
Well, you know, there's a lot of rumors floating around that Joe wants out, too, and, you know, it's sad, you know, and I say this a lot, I know, but in 2005, Samoa Joe was considered best wrestler of the year for the PWI 500. You know, for, you know, that year, he was considered one of the top guys, and he signs with TNA. Mm-hmm. And here we are 6 years later, and he's just so out of shape and so fucking mismanaged and misused. It's just not even funny that this company takes guys who are viable, you know, main event superstars and could do something and just lets them rot. It's abysmal, man.
But, you know, it's not no coincidence when Hogan and Bischoff comes into the fold, all of a sudden Samoa Joe, he goes from, like, being one of the top guys in the company just, you know, to a job every week. I don't think that's a coincidence, you know.
You know, what happened to Chris Daniels? You know, Christopher Daniels was another one of those guys who had a lot of promise. He signed a contract with WCW in 2001, and unfortunately about 2 or 3 weeks later they closed the company down. And he's always had, you know, like, really fucked up breaks. You know, he was one of the top stars in TNA. You know, granted, he might not be the biggest guy, but they've never done anything other than his Curry Man gimmick with him to really accentuate that. I mean, right now he's stuck in a feud with AJ Styles. You know, another guy who should be main eventing pay-per-views. I'm glad that they did build up Bobby Roode this week with AJ and put Bobby over AJ. That was impressive.
I mean, you know, that's what AJ kind of said in his opening promo. Like, you know, I mean, I think that was a shoot where he said, I haven't had a title shot in so many years because I don't know the right people, brother. I'm like, damn, is that a shoot? Because really, it's one of your most talented and best wrestlers, and he's stuck on mid-card. I mean, it just, like I said, if Hogan leave, I think it'll just be for the best, because when he came in, a lot of guys just got shitted on. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just I want to go to a point that was made in the chat room. I guess Randy McWilliams saying that Joe's not the same wrestler he was in 2004-05. Absolutely not. He's not. You know, you look at 2005, and he was pretty strong in TNA. And then as soon as they put the belt on him, they turned him into a whiny, bitchy-ass champion.
Exactly.
You know, and they fucking killed him. They waited forever to put the belt on him. And then when they did finally put it on him, they made him a little whiner and a bitcher. You know, he was the first guy that was sacrificed to Kurt Angle when he walked into the company, when that should have been your main event at Bound for Glory the next year.
And me personally, I think it should have been reversed. I think he should have beat Kurt because, okay, you're going to bring in a WWE top guy and just put him over your top guy. I never understood that. I mean, you should never do that.
Yeah, but, I mean, bringing in Kurt Angle, like, I mean, that was a big coup for them because that's, you know, the most recognized superstar they have on their roster. I felt like they should have given Kurt somebody else to start off with and had Joe been a year-long build. And I think, you know, their matches were great, don't get me wrong. But I thought it was a mistake to bury Joe in that first match against Kurt Angle.
And, you know, it's kind of, I really don't like looking at Kurt. I mean, why has his arm strong? I mean, what happened to his body? I mean, it's kind of hard. I mean, he was blaming me or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's like Trey said on WNL this past week. It's like the Kurt Angle you saw in the WWF. Somebody just took a pin and popped him, and all the air just deflated out. I mean, he looks sickly, you know. I'm a big Kurt Angle fan. I like his work, but he just, you know, he looks like he should be an outpatient, you know, at the cancer ward. And I hate to say that, but that's what he comes across as.
You know, honestly, Jay, I was thinking the same thing, you know, seeing cancer patients all day. I mean, that's exactly what I'm looking like. Wes, I mean, like I said, you know, I don't know. And once again, you had a point on Jimmy Uso. You make all that money, get you a damn designated driver. If you know you're going to be drinking, take somebody with you.
Well, I mean, where was Jay? I mean, was he passed out somewhere not driving? I mean, good for him. But
I mean, he'll probably like, I don't want to go. I guess Tamina didn't want to go with him either, so I guess he was just stuck by himself.
I just, you know, again, I don't get it. I mean, you make all this money. You're trying to make a name for yourself in a company that doesn't put up with this kind of shit or shouldn't put up with this kind of shit. You know, and here you are jeopardizing your career and possibly your brother's as well. Just not smart. Not smart at all. What a dumbass. He gets the Dumbass of the Week award.
I mean, especially when you said it was the point alcohol volume they found in the system being that high. I mean, Jesus, like, what? He, so basically, when he left out the club, he was just staggering, halfway sleeping. Man.
Goddamn, double the fucking limit? That's pretty fucking bad.
Yeah, but like you said, he's young. Hopefully, you know, he can learn from his mistake. And, but like I said, I think they're going to have to send a message out. Like, you can't do that. They're probably like, we'd rather for you to get caught with the juice in your system than to be driving down drunk, risking lives. I mean, I'm just saying that honestly.
Well, you know, I mean, again, I like the kid, and, you know, I've lost a little respect for him. I don't think his career's over, but, you know, I think a suspension, possibly a pretty big fine. You know, I think something needs to happen here. There needs to be an example. I know when Riley got his DUI, it was different. I know they've dropped the charges since then, but, like, you got to remember, Riley was in a pretty high-profile thing. I'm surprised he didn't get punished, but it would have probably hurt the Miz if they'd done that, but... You know, I mean, you got to make an example out of somebody. And, you know, Uso's not exactly main eventing things, is he?
Yeah, and then, like you said, you got to feel sorry for his brother. I think he's like, oh, man, damn.
You know what? If my brother had done that to me, I'd have punched his ass in the fucking face.
Exactly.
I'd have said, Dad, spread those ass cheeks. Jimmy's coming in. Stink face to your own son. Sober his ass up. That's the smelling salt you need right there, buddy.
Yeah, I think, you know, between his brother and his father, I think that'll be a pretty good ass whooping.
Nothing says sober like a 500-pound ass in your face.
And they are, to me, are pretty strong, too. I think she did a couple of good elbows in, too. I think they all like some kind of, all of them like related in some type of way, ain't they?
Oh, yeah. They're every one of them, man. All the Samoans are all related. It's a big family. It's a little island, but it's a big family.
Hey, Samoan heritage.
No doubt.
All right, man. I appreciate your time, man. I got to get back to work. People starting to look at me.
All right, stop hiding from the white people. Get back to work.
Well, it's Friday. They're pretty friendly on Friday.
Okay.
It's just Monday through Thursday, assholes.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
All right, you take it easy, Jay.
All right, Mike. Have a good weekend, man.
All right, man.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines, guys. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
JJ, Bronx.
Bronxy, what's up, man?
Man, you know, I'm surprised because I know Unplugged is on the cutting edge. You guys haven't heard anything about the new video game that WWE's coming out with. It's going to be called, they're getting together with Rockstar. It's going to be called Grand Theft Auto 12 Wrestler Edition. And you can play as Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, Jimmy Uso. It's going to be really cool.
Oh, awesome. Are they going to make you a motherfucking superstar?
Yeah, well, I mean, it starts off in a bar, and, you know, you drink as much as you can, and then instead of hot coffee, it's going to be called hot liquor. And then you just get in your car, and if you can avoid getting pulled over, you win.
Oh, wow. I'm looking forward to this game. I mean, I guess, really, they wouldn't make you a motherfucking superstar. They'd have to make you a motherfucking rock star.
Right, exactly.
To be in that game, so...
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, it's not, at least, you know, it's really, we're seeing it's not just a TNA thing. It almost looks like it's a wrestler thing now, and it's not good. I mean, it's really, if I'm Vince McMahon, I would really have the balls to put my foot down and say, listen, whenever this happens, you're 6 months suspension. I don't give a fuck. When it happens, your ass is getting suspended. TNA should do the same thing. They won't, but they should.
Ashley says it's actually called Crash Hour, Bronx.
Crash Hour is even better.
Did you ever play that game?
Crash Hour?
Yeah.
I never heard of it.
It was a game that came out, and I wish Matt Black were here. He could tell you about it. But it was a game that came out, years ago, and it was basically WWE superstars driving, like, fucking monster trucks and cars. And it was like a demolition derby kind of thing. With gun. It was kind of like Twisted Metal meets WWE wrestlers. It was horrendous.
Are you shitting me? Really?
I'm dead fucking serious. Look that shit up on fucking Wikipedia or YouTube, WWE Crush Hour, and see what comes up. It was pretty fucking bad.
That would be great. But, you know, getting back to talking a little bit of TNA, I mean, I know you don't watch it. I watch it more or less sporadically now. But, I mean...
I'm sorry.
What's that?
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. What I don't get is... why. First of all, We don't know if Sting Hogan is definitely going to happen. But if it is, I don't understand. Hogan was told he can't take fucking bumps. How can you promote a match? I mean, look, TNA keeps doing this shit. They put the cart before the horse. It was like they did it again with the they angle. You know, oh, we're going to advertise Kevin Nash and Booker T as they. And a week later, they're in the fucking WWE at the Rumble.
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? What? The match is supposed to go down, and Hogan's going to be like, oh, I can't wrestle, brother, but I got a substitution. And then he's going to throw Eric Bischoff in the ring for Sting to beat up.
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, they consider Bound for Glory like their WrestleMania. So I can't. That would be a total abortion if they did that. I mean, come on. What's your main event then?
Well, maybe we'll be lucky and they'll bring back the Booty Man, and Brutus Beefcake will take on Sting, or maybe Brian Knobbs will bring his fat ass back to the Impact Zone and stick up for the honor of his best friend Hulk Hogan. Or maybe Horace Hogan, who hasn't had a job in many years, might actually do something for his uncle. Who knows?
No, I have a better idea. Here's a perfect setup. Being they like to rip off WWE shit, you pretend the match is going to happen, then at Bound for Glory, Sting is out in the parking lot, and bang, he gets hit by a car, and who steps out of the car? Hogan's son. Nick. That would
be
perfect.
No, Nick would drive the car and it would crash into the arena, Bronx.
I mean, you could.
The only thing worse than Jimmy Uso driving drunk is if Nick is driving at all.
Right. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's just a mess. But getting into some Hell in a Cell, what do you see? Because, you know, WWE is famous for pushing guys to the moon and then suddenly, like you guys said on WNL. Do you see, I discussed this with the Power on the Rewind, I think Henry has to go over. What do you see happening? I hope he goes over. He's my pick, by the way, just out of, you know, liking him. But I'm really hoping they keep the belt on him a bit longer. I'd love to see a motherfucker hold it till WrestleMania.
See, you know, I want to see Henry hold it, but I'm worried that with this being a 2-week build pay-per-view, and I'm seriously wondering if they're going to try to put the belt back on Orton for the next couple of weeks and have maybe Big Show or Kane interfere, and then at Vengeance, which happens later this month, oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
Maybe have the rematch for Orton and Mark Henry. I don't know. I mean, I want Henry to win, but I'm kind of confused as to where they're going. I really don't even know why we're having a pay-per-view on Sunday. Why couldn't they have waited until the end of the month to build things up more? I'm completely floored at a 2-week pay-per-view build.
Well, I'm kind of like, you know, the gimmick pay-per-views, it kind of really ruined a lot of great gimmicks. I mean, Hell in a Cell was originally two guys are feuding for months. And it's gotten down to the point where we hate each other so much that the only way we can resolve this is to try to end each other's career. That's what Hell in a Cell used to be. Hell in a Cell was a really, really special event. I mean, what do we get, one a year? You know, it was the culmination of a feud where these two guys, the hatred has gone too far. They have to try to actually end each other's lives. I mean, that's how they pushed this structure. Now, when you have this pay-per-view, and especially when you have two of them in one night, it's kind of like it totally took away from the whole mystique of Hell in a Cell. It was a very, very special, very, very one-time deal. And now it's just another pay-per-view. It's really ruined it for me.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just... I mean, at least they're only having two this year and not three. Wasn't that one year? Was it last year where they had three and basically like the first two was shit?
I think so, yeah.
And I mean, I got to agree with something that was said in chat. Pope said it. Hell in a Cell isn't the same. You know, I know there's all shit going around with Hep C and AIDS, and nowadays you have to be a lot more careful. But hell, I agree. Hell in a Cell needs blood. I mean, I just think there are some wrestling matches that really need it. I mean, why don't they just really go PG and call it Heck in a Cell?
Heck in a cell. Golly gee in a cell.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have – I mean, what are we going to do? Somebody gets juiced in the cell and the ref comes and they lift the cell so he can fucking – the trainer, rather, can stitch the guy up or whatever. All right, lower the cell again. They lower it again. And can you imagine that? That would be great, actually.
Nope. I think it is. Sorry, I'm just taking care of some shit in the chat room, too. Or going on. Anything else? Anything else on your mind tonight, Bronx?
No, I'm good. I'm kind of looking forward to the pay per view. I mean, there's a couple matches. You know, both the Hell in the Cells got good participants. I'm dogging on it, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'm really hoping that belt comes off Kelly, because if it doesn't, I mean, she's like becoming John Cena with a pussy. It's like it's ridiculous now.
Oh, I agree.
You know, give what I would love to see them do. If they just this one last thing, give the belt to Beth, and then let Beth and Natty break up. Can you imagine the matches Beth and Natty can have? I mean, those bitches throw down. I mean, that would be a really great women's feud that they could do. Get those two in the ring against the two big chicks who both know how to fight, and just get Kelly. You know what? Go back to your Barbie shit and. That's it. You know, learn how to wrestle and come back.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the problem, Bronx. I mean, the WWE wants divas. They don't want female wrestling. They want divas, you know? I mean, they have had so many respectable, talented, actual women wrestlers in the past, and they've discarded them. You go back to Bertha Faye, who was a fucking joke in the company because she was Bertha Faye. But quite frankly, one of the most talented female wrestlers ever to grace a ring. You know, the work she did here in Canada was phenomenal what did she call herself? She was a Singh, and I can't think of her name. Muckin Singh. She was some kind of Singh here in Canada and did fantastic work. You know, in Japan, fantastic worker. In WWE, she's reduced to a fucking sideshow act with fucking, what's his name, Downtown Bruno, Harvey Whippleman. You know, it fucking just kills me when you get people like Candice Michelle, who did softcore porn and fucking, you know, GoDaddy, and it's like, oh, let's bring Candice Michelle in. Let's have her pose for Playboy. Oh, let's make her the Divas Champion. She sucked. In more ways than one, ladies and gentlemen, she sucked. I mean, she was the shit in the ring.
But the thing I don't get is how the hell is promoting divas PG? Because what you're basically doing was, I mean, back in the Attitude Era, I was discussing this with someone today, and he was saying, well, if it's PG, how do these girls wear the kind of outfits they wear? And I was like, dude, have you watched the Attitude Era? The shit these girls are wearing now is nothing compared to some of the shit they were wearing and doing during the Attitude Era. I mean, which was the chick that came out with nothing but hands painted over her titties?
Well, that was Sable, and that was the thing. Sable started out as just a fucking valet for Mark Marrow, and, you know, that was his wife.
Born-again Christian, too.
And she ended up coming in and, you know, getting more popular than him, and then, you know, had a nice run with the belt. And granted, toward the end of her run, she got better. You know, Jackie was another phenomenal one that could work. You know, I mean, Luna was there during the Attitude Era. So you had credible women's wrestlers. You know, you had Tori. And I'm not talking about Tori Wilson. I'm talking about Tombstone Tori, the one that was with DX.
Oh, you're going back. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going back. You had Ivory. I mean, you had people that could fucking work. That knew how to fucking put together a match. That's where Victoria came in shortly thereafter. I mean, and now you've got Barbie Blank, Kelly, you know, Candice Michelle, all these other fucking little glamour girls that come in and, oh, we want you to take a bump here or there. Oh, now we're going to make you a full-fledged wrestler. And it's embarrassing to watch Kelly wrestle with someone who's experienced, like an Italia or a Beth Phoenix, because they make her look like shit. It's embarrassing watching her wrestle talented people because they literally have to fucking carry her.
Well, I remember when they had fucking Lita and Trish actually main event a Raw, and that, I mean, if you, anyone who hasn't seen that match, if you can find it, I don't know the date, YouTube it. that was one of those matches where I was at the edge of my seat, like, holy shit. I mean, those two, I'll take that match anywhere, any place I can get them. I mean, say what you want about Lita, but I mean, damn, that girl could fucking work her ass off. And I mean, whenever she got in the ring with Trish, it was freaking, I mean, it was gold. Those two chicks had some of the best matches, and I'm not talking about women's matches. I mean, best matches I've seen. And I mean, I wonder how two guys, I mean, I don't even know how Trish can bear. I assume she's still contracted to WWE. How can she stomach it, man? After the shit she went through to make it to the top, barking like a dog, and then becoming one of the best chicks there, and letting her retire with the title, which, you know, yeah, kudos to Vince for doing that. I give him credit. She deserved it. I mean, but now you just look at it, the women's division, I mean, even TNA, one of the things that was going for them back in the day was their women's division. Russo totally fucked that. He fucked that up big time. So it's like there's just no place for women in wrestling anymore. And somebody like your wife who busted her ass in the ring, she has to be pissed off too. I mean, your wife, I don't know how she bears it.
Well, you know, I mean, she and I agree that women's wrestling is a joke. I mean, you know, it's not what it should be. It's a fucking joke. And, you know, I mean, I would implore you to tell me one thing that Vince Russo has done in his illustrious career that has fucking meant anything in professional wrestling. Name me one fucking thing that he's done. If you say anything he did in WWE, you got to think about Vince McMahon's the one that allowed things to happen. He said yay or nay on anything that went through there. He was the end resolve voice. Look at what Vince Russo did when he was head of WCW. He ran it into the fucking ground.
Well, I mean, it's like shitty sewage water. They run shitty sewage water through a treatment plant and it comes out clean and you can drink it again. That was Vince Russo in the WWE. In WCW and TNA, they took away that filter and all you're getting to drink is shit. But, you know, that's all I got to say. Russo just fucking sucks. He's one of those, you know, and I can say this because I'm Italian, one of these little tough guy Guidos who I'd love to break his fucking jaw. It's like the little Italian kids you see here who think they're gangster. That reminds me of fucking Vince Russo. He's just one of those, you know, we call them coffee cake racketeers, like the guys that the real mafia would freaking float at the bottom of the river. But that's how I feel about Russo. He's a piece of shit.
No, I would have to agree with you, man. Well, Bronx, thanks for the call.
Thank you, JJ. Have a good one, brother.
You too, my friend.
Bye.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Plugged. Who's this?
This is Anthony.
Hey, Anthony, what's on your mind, man?
First off, I want to agree that they have to have Beth Phoenix win the belt. Because one, if they do not let her win and lose three times in a pay-per-view, basically that loses all credibility for her. And making her, basically Kelly, like the Cena for the Divas. Imagine if Cena and Kelly had a kid together. Oh, God, the unholy child. It would be some kind of demon baby.
It would literally jump out of the womb and fucking do the "you can't see me" and fucking go after the first championship that was available.
And probably win it.
Probably.
Ain't no invent. And what's your opinion about, I guess, they're doing some kind of angle now with Otunga being the Harvard law guy, and I think he's going to be involved in whatever this faction might be coming in to go against Triple H, but in the end, I think he might just be like the Virgil of the group or Vincent.
I think it's the best gimmick they've given Otunga, to be real honest with you. I mean, I like him as Starscream in the Nexus. Well, that was something Trey and I had coined. Because, you know, he was always that second-in-command kind of guy. Always wanted to take control from Wade Barrett, but never got a chance to. And then when they split the Nexus up with CM Punk, he was just totally subservient to CM Punk. So they kind of ruined him there. But I like this Clarence Mason-esque gimmick that they got going for him.
Yeah, they got to do something with him because apparently I think they ended that team with him and Michael McGillicuddy or Joe Henning, and Henning is now written off TV, so he might, I don't know what they're going to do with Henning.
But yeah, maybe he'll come back as Joe Henning. Who knows? I mean, you know, I'm glad the McGilla buddies are dead. Fuck. McGilla buddies. Wow.
And the Usos, I've been at least looking up what they've been doing in NXT. They were somewhat building a push, I guess, for the Usos, but now what Jake, Lil Jimmy, and Uso did, I think that's dead.
Yeah, Lil Jimmy done fucked up again. Maybe that's who R-Truth's been talking about all along, Jimmy Uso. Little Jimmy. He got by the Tampa police.
And, yeah, because they were somewhat building teams up in NXT. I mean, they had, like, Titus O'Neil, Percy Watson.
Oh, yeah, Tyler baby. Rex.
Yeah, Tyler Rex and Curt Hawkins, which I did see a match between those two on Superstars. It was good. So if they actually do revive, put some life back in the tag team, it could be promising.
Yeah, they should call that tag team Rex in Effect. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Before one of them probably gets released.
Who knows at this point, right?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, Hell in the Cell is going to be like, okay, let's just because we're going to have another pay-per-view before even Survivor Series. What the fuck?
I know, man. Seriously. I know. I'm so sick of gimmick pay-per-views. I mean, really. I think it's overkill to have, you know, two pay-per-views in October. It's just fucking overkill.
In the end, I think that most pay-per-views they should have is eight or nine, not freaking over 12.
I agree. You know, we've said that many times before. The February pay-per-view doesn't need to be there. The one before SummerSlam doesn't need to be there. The one before Survivor Series doesn't need to be there.
Between Survivor Series and Royal Rumble shouldn't be there.
I agree. But, you know, they don't want to lose out on money. So even if, you know, 300,000 people are buying this pay-per-view and, you know, 200,000 buy the other one, you know, they're still making money off of it. That's how they justify it. So whatever.
I consider it just a fucking stupid move because, yeah, we're going to build this pay-per-view, all the money we're going to spend for promoting it, but then in the end we're not going to really get that much, like as you said about SummerSlam.
And I wanted to say that, and I meant to say this when Mike was on the air, but, you know, we talked about the SummerSlam buy rate, how every year it just trickles down. You know, every year it's worse than the year before. Maybe, and maybe I'm reaching here. Maybe, people, the reason that the buy rates for the pay-per-views slip year to year is because who's the guy that's on fucking top year after year after year?
Superman, I mean Cena.
I think that just like me, most wrestling fans are sick of seeing John Cena as the champion. They're sick of seeing John Cena main event the fucking show. And it's making people walk away from the product. How else do you justify every year it trickles down a little bit more? Diehard wrestling fans are giving up on the fucking product.
And one other thing, you think what they're doing now with The Miz and R-Truth, somewhat what they've been doing, how they dropped the ball with CM Punk, you know, them going like other shows, radios, talking about how they got fired and being all these issues. Well, the Miz, you saw with Punk, he came back after like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I saw the part where it had Miz said on his radio show, he was all saying, oh, he's firing me in the truth because we'd be able to referee. Didn't he hit referees with sledgehammers and all that, cause a referee not to retire because he beat him up so badly? And,
Well, you know, it's you know what it is, Anthony. It's a case of, and you've heard this before, I'm sure. I know I heard it growing up from my parents. Do as I say, not as I do. I mean, let's look at the career of Triple H. Do you know how he won his first World Heavyweight Championship?
Crooked referee?
Nope, that wasn't it at all. It was the night after SummerSlam, what was it, 99 on Raw?
Yeah.
When Mick Foley won the belt from Steve Austin in that triple threat match that featured Triple H, and he took JR and basically broke JR's arm to get his title match against Mankind, and that's how he won his first ever World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, I remember he said, you're going to give me the match when I break his arm. I said, okay, all right.
And then he broke his arm anyway, you know, and he's going to charge Mark Henry $250,000 for beating up Jerry Lawler. Yeah, it's kind of hypocritical. But we're wrestling fans. We're supposed to forget about the past. And there's so many people that don't know that story. There's so many new fans that have been watching for a couple of years that don't know that Triple H did that. Like I said, it's a case of do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, we remember the Triple H from the DX era and all that, but we remember when he was coming in as a main event, he was a mean son of a bitch.
Yeah, he was.
It's all funny. Oh, let's play with Hornswoggle.
There you go. Anthony.
That's pretty much.
I was about to ask you anything else, but I guess not.
And yeah, I'm going to pretty much end the call and say, like, keep up the good work you guys have been doing. I can't wait how you guys are going to do the pay-per-view this Sunday. I think one suggestion, Wild Turkey.
I might need it to get through the pay-per-view, but we do have some pretty big news we're going to announce regarding the Next Generation Stampede Wrestling taping on October 28th. So that should be fun. And we actually, Mark the Shark, DiCarlo, and myself this past Wednesday actually put together the audio commentary track for the first show this past week. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out once all the production is put together. But I think it's going to turn out pretty well.
Good luck on that endeavor.
Yep.
And don't get featured endeavored.
Oh, I ain't worried about that. I ain't going nowhere.
All right, so I'll end my call.
All right, Anthony. We'll talk to you later, man. All right, with that being said, guys, we're going to take our commercial break, come back with the sensational sequel, and talk a little bit of gaming news right here on Unplugged. So we'll be right back right after this.
What's up? This is Lauren Mayhew, and you are listening to JJ Sex Day on SNS Network.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
You know, in the world of pro wrestling radio, there's always someone out there who will always try to get under your skin.
I want to really drive Andy to the point where he wants to choke me out. Because I'm going to drive him right off the edge of the cliff.
They'll always try, but in the end, it always comes down to the truth.
That moment when silent rage blows the gasket, this match is over.
You know, I'm really just a nice guy at heart. But...
Don't piss me off, okay?
I mean, come on.
The truth is going to hurt someone.
Catch your weekly search for the truth right here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network.
Music that's on the cutting edge of fashion until ordinary people start listening to it.
Radio Broker.
There's never anything good on the radio here in Liberty City. It is me, Nico Bellic, from Grand Theft Auto 4. And when I'm driving around, usually bailing my cousin out of trouble, unfortunately, I don't have access to the SNS radio network. But you do. Tune in to www.snsradionetwork.com. to listen to all the great programming, like Sunday Night Showdown covering pay-per-views, Wrestling News Live with the Trey Dog and JJ Sexy, the Pro Wrestling Rewind with the Power Andy Knowles, and of course Unplugged with JJ Sexy, where he talks about movies and video games. And don't forget the podcasts like Beyond the Bell, What Would Fans Do, and the Elite Force Podcast. Once again, The SNS Radio Network is located at www.snsradionetwork.com. And if you don't listen, maybe me and cousin have to pay you a visit. Gotta go. Gotta bail cousin out of trouble again.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Wrestling Radio Tips on how to host your very own wrestling radio show. Wrestling Radio Tip 101, take listener phone calls. Here's how it works. You set up a phone line, and when a listener calls in, you answer just like this.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
What?
Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
What?
Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Okay.
I don't really follow Hulk Hogan because I just kind of find him up to be a washed up douchebag.
Skeet, 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 skeet. Yeah.
It's been booming in the warehouse with Sin Cara just starting in WWE. The t-shirts and the masks have been up in the sky. You know, so your tennis shoes are in the side. I told Julio to hold up on them. All we have to wait for the shoelaces to come in. In the bottom sole.
What?
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 Ah, come on, there. You think that's the last thing you want?
Okay.
Well, what you gonna do, brother? Well, I just take off my shirt.
Yeah.
Say my prayers. Eat my vitamins.
Yeah.
Say no to the holy God. And I'm gonna go after you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you gonna do when the 2-inch pythons run wild on you?
Bye, little.
JJ 6A.
His charm is so contagious, vaccines have been created for it. Years ago, he built a city out of blocks. Today, over 600,000 people live and work there. He is the only man to ever ace a Rorschach test. Every time he goes for a swim, dolphins appear. Alien abductors have asked him to probe them. If he were to give you directions, you'd never get lost, and you'd arrive at least 5 minutes early. His legend precedes him, the way lightning precedes thunder. He is...
JJ6.
The most interesting man in the world.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I listen to Wrestling News Live. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.
Every story has a beginning.
He is a man of destiny!
Every superstar has an evolution.
The youngest world champion in history!
And every champion never settles. 99% is good enough. Just not good enough to beat me. Always primed.
Randy Orton is always in control.
Ready to strike.
Orton is getting to that place, that gear that only Randy Orton has.
Reborn with each challenge. Reborn with a vengeance. Bigger. Badder. Better.
And you are listening to the SNS Radio Network.
All right, we're back right here on Unplugged. Of course, I am JJ, all caps, sexy. Mr. Money on the mic, if you will, and joining me on the phone lines, ladies and gentlemen, for his gaming segment. Back from, he wasn't here last week, so from 2 weeks ago, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, The Sensational Sequel.
How's it going, JJ?
It's good, man. What's up?
Nothing. Glad to be back after last week's work. Work overtime, really, I guess we'll call it. Just glad to be back. It was kind of crazy last week. Didn't get home in time. I was supposed to get home at 10 o'clock. Kind of ran over in the tournament that we had and ended up not getting off till 11:30. So, I mean, a five-hour tournament kind of...
It's okay, Sean. Sean, it's okay. I blame little Jimmy Uso for driving you home.
I kind of thought he would be driving me tonight because everyone was all over the roads tonight. We had 35-mile-per-hour winds coming out. So, I mean, it was pretty crazy. Had a bad storm in the area, so, I mean, it was pretty crazy all night long. So, let's see what we got. We got some good news this week. Definitely one thing comes out, because, I mean, we got some big games coming up. It's October in, tomorrow? And, I mean, we've got some games coming out in October that's going to pretty much rock or start the shopping season, I guess we'll call it.
So, in other words, what you're saying is that tomorrow, we all know, is October 1st. This month, you could actually call it Rocktober because some of the games that are coming out are going to rock your face off.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, just coming up this first week, we have Rage dropping. We have NBA 2K12, Dark Souls, which is turning out to be, from what a lot of people say, a really huge game. The next week after that, we've got Dead Rising 2 off the record, Forza 4, Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster, which is looking really good no matter who you talk to.
Ace oh, man, Combat. See, that I think that's going to be the best-selling game of the year. Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster. You know what, man? If I can play as Big Bird, I'm going to be in fucking heaven, you know? Me and Mr. Snuffleupagus, we're going to kick some major fucking ass on that game. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
And then the week of the 18th, which is going to be my favorite week, Batman Arkham City drops. And I just paid this off today, and I've been looking forward to this game since it was announced earlier this year. And since I heard that Mark Hamill will no longer be doing the Joker voice, this is his last time. This is really pushing me to really enjoy this game. And then 25th, we have Battlefield 3 dropping. Just Dance Kids 2, Kinect Sports Season 2. I mean, there's a few good games dropping the last week. Battlefield 3 is really going to drop, and it's going to pretty much make everyone understand what's going on. Battlefield 3 is coming out first, and then like right after that is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 on 11/8. So, I mean, it's definitely gearing up to be a packed shopping season for Christmas.
And then, of course, don't forget on November 22nd, WWE 12.
Yes.
Which
unfortunately, it's not on my calendar.
Which looks fucking fantastic.
It does. It's looking a lot better every time they come out with pictures. And, I mean, I was looking at my my Twitter the other day, and Tank was on there, and Mark and Stevenson, and they were talking about the special hidden mystery person, and they're still trying to – people are still guessing. And everybody's, really trying to get at this, and they don't want to release the info until later on in October. So I'm really curious to see who this person is, especially after I believe it was you who said it, that THQ has had a conversation with Brock Lesnar – and actually has his character model, I guess we'll call it.
Well, yeah, that was hold on, you're putting words in my mouth. I said that there was something leaked from a THQ developer that said that they had a Brock Lesnar skin, and a lot of people are assuming it's going to be in the WWE 12 game, but it could be for the next, UFC game. But again, to verify that, you also have to remember that both Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman were recently talking with the WWF, or excuse me, the WWE. See, I'm turning into JR at my old age. They're recently talking to the WWE about doing some sort of a merchandising deal, which could have included Brock and wrestling video games. So, again, I can neither confirm nor deny that it's Brock Lesnar, but according to a leak from THQ a couple months ago, they were saying that there was a Brock Lesnar skin. That's all I'm saying. I don't know either way.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what's going to come of that. I mean, I'm really curious to see what they have for Brock Lesnar and if he's just going into just the THQ UFC games or if he will be in WWE 12. That would be a really cool because then we can go in and actually put him against the new guys, and it would be really, really fun to do that.
But regardless, you could actually make Brock Lesnar in a game, so it's all good.
Yeah, either way, you can go download him from somebody or pick him up from somewhere. Either way, you got it. So let's jump into the news here. First thing I want to pop up is the Battlefield 3 beta is now available to all if you want to get a chance to play a game that is actually looking very good and is looking extremely beautiful. Go pick it up. It's available on Xbox 360, PS3, and the PC. PS3 should be up, even though it was not up on September 29th, so definitely go check it out. It's going to be a great game when it comes out. Gears of War 3, a game that I really have been enjoying a lot. The numbers have finally come out, and Gears of War 3 sold 3 million units in the first week alone.
Wow. That's impressive.
So, I mean, it really is, and I'm really glad to hear this, but we'll have to see what happens in the next couple weeks with Arkham City coming out, with Battlefield 3 coming out, with Uncharted coming out, as I forgot to mention, the PS3 game, and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 coming out. I mean, we've got a lot of big games dropping, so we'll have to see what will be coming out and what numbers they'll be dropping. I don't know if you've heard about this, but a new Mortal Kombat movie is in the works, and it's coming from the same person who did the Mortal Kombat Legacy. Kevin Ticharon, I guess we're saying, is actually going to be in charge of the whole movie. What do you think about that?
Is this the same guy that did the Mortal Kombat redo that had, like, Michael Jai White?
Yes, the Legacy series.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I'm all for it. I really enjoyed that video. So, if they're finally giving this guy a green light, he's obviously going to make Mortal Kombat kind of a more modern, S kind of thing. And, I think that can only result in good things.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how it comes. I still haven't had a chance to finish off Legacy. I'm really hoping to get a chance to get all of those on Blu-ray when they come out, but I'm really looking forward to definitely checking them out. It's very good reviews from what I've heard. We'll go with this one. Sony released some stuff today, a SKUI magazine actually spoke to an unnamed Sony company entertainment representative about some of the concerns about PlayStation Vita. Apparently, it was announced that over 3G, that the Vita downloads will only be limited to 20 megabytes. This is really bad for a lot of people, and a lot of people are questioning this because then demos, games that are going to be bought over the Vita are not going to be able to be gotten at launch. So it's looking like later on down, possibly within the first 5 months, they'll be allowing larger downloads over 3G. But it looks like a lot of people are worried about that they're going to crash the 3G with the fact that they're allowing downloads over it.
Okay, so okay. Before you get on to your next story, there's something in chat I got to handle real quick. Don Bronx asked the question, I'd love to know why JJ is such a Zangief fan. I thought, and I'm risking a ban, he was the worst character in Street Fighter. Bronx, first of all, you can't even fucking see to play. So I'm not really sure how you know he's the worst character in the fucking game. But it takes skill. Oh yeah, I said it. It takes motherfucking skill to learn how to kick ass with Zangief. Because he's slow, he's methodical, but if he gets you in that 360 spinning pile driver or the fucking reverse German suplexes, you're fucked, pal, because he takes about half your fucking damage every time he does it. He's got some kick-ass super combos, and you talk about Ken and Ryu and Bison. Bison is the cheapest motherfucker in the game. If you can just sit across the screen and fucking do the psycho driver all day, you're obviously going to win matches. But with Zangief, you got to fucking be skillful. Because when you're fighting a guy like Ryu or Ken, you're kind of at a disadvantage with a guy like Zangief. But I love him because he's a fucking wrestler. And I'm a fucking wrestling fan. And I love it when any wrestling character makes their way in a fucking game. Because that's the one that always draws me to that game. So put on some Coke bottle glasses and pay attention, Bronx. And try not to fall in the middle of the night, because Trey's getting kind of sick of it, quite frankly.
Bronx, you can now limp over to the corner. You're done.
And you know what? You know what? The next time you say some shit like that, I'm going to fucking leave the fucking plunger in the toilet seat, bitch.
Wow.
Moving on.
This is something that you're going to love, JJ, especially after when the power took over Unplugged. We had a conversation about online people being nice or being hateful, whatever. Apparently, and I just brought the story up because I really want to hear your opinion on this. Apparently, a gentleman was playing Call of Duty Black Ops in the UK, and there was a 13-year-old who was taunting him after he was killed, and he just kept taunting the guy, and the gentleman, his name was Mark Bradford, hunts down the 13-year-old and proceeds to beat the living crap out of the kid and chokes him until his mother can get in there and stop it.
Wow.
This just caught me off guard because the story, I mean, they started up and they don't leave anything, and then they say, guess what? We're going to talk about this a little bit more. I mean, it's just really crazy that a 46-year-old would hunt down a 13-year-old playing Black Ops. I mean, what do you think about that, JJ?
It's pretty fucked up, man. It's pretty fucked up.
It definitely is. I'm really caught off guard by this because somebody actually went down and hunted down a 13-year-old just to do this. The guy doesn't have anything in the head to begin with. I mean, he let a 13-year-old get to him. So, I just feel sorry for him, but I guess he's going to have some more problems because they're definitely pressing charges against him. So.
You know what? That's a fucking comical story. Like, you know? You know, but in all seriousness, I can understand his frustration because there were times I would go to the local arcade back in, you know, the late 90s and, you know, sometimes would play games like Mortal Kombat 3 and I'd have credits, you know, already in the fucking thing and I'd have some stupid ass little kid come up and push the one player button as I'm playing as player two. And JJ Sexay was known to choke a few bitches back in the day too. So I can completely understand, you know, you take my money and I'm going to beat your ass. I mean, it's just the way it is, but you know, goddamn, it's just a game, people. I mean, seriously. Unbelievable.
It's funny because the picture they have on Joystick with this article actually has Batman holding a guy by his throat over the roof of the building and says, "I'm Batman, bitch, and this is what you're getting."
Wow.
So, I mean, it was just pretty hilarious. Since I just mentioned Batman Arkham City, Amazon UK basically has a new bundle, the Batman Arkham City Xbox 360 bundle, which comes with a copy of the game itself, a fancy custom console, which is the 250 matte black Xbox 360, the headset controller, and a copy of the game. Not much extra, but it's £279.99. I'm guessing Ashley will give us an estimate or whatever, currency, whatever, so we can figure out what that is. But it looks cool. I mean, the fact you're getting the game, if you don't have the console itself, you can actually go buy this in the UK and get it, which is cool.
You know, I'm just wondering, you know, are they not giving you a Batman cowl? Because I know Crowley would be all over it.
I was really hoping Crowley would have been on because I would be like, "Hey, Crowley, guess what? You finally get your mask." No, you don't.
Crowley's pissed right now. And I don't mean he's mad. I mean he's fucking drunk.
He probably is.
Fucking foreign kid. Can't hold his liquor.
I got a few news pieces about this about BlizzCon, which is a huge event for Blizzard that they do every year for people who like to like their stuff. They're like Diablo, World of Warcraft, StarCraft. Well, this year, they've gotten the Foo Fighters to close out BlizzCon 2011. Last year, they had Tenacious D, which, from what I heard, was extremely awesome. But this year, they got the Foo Fighters. Now, some things to go along with BlizzCon this year is that there will be no talk about Titan, which is their newest MMO that Blizzard is announcing later on next year. Also, they're going to be talking about the release date for Diablo 3, which has been pushed back to 2012 after an announcement this week. And there will probably be talk about StarCraft 2. StarCraft 2, sorry. Heart of the Swarm release date information and the next WoW expansion. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff they're going to be talking about. But there's always the fact that they're going to have Diablo 3 betas set up there for you to play. You always get extra stuff. I mean, it's pretty cool. If you can't be there to see it, you can always pay $40 to watch it on the internet or through DirecTV, which is always a good thing to do if you want to check it out. But there will always be free streams somewhere, even though we don't condone that. There's a new rumor coming out that PayPal has actually outed the new release date for the Xbox Dash update, which will include live TV. This update is supposed to happen on November 15th. And since I'm talking about that, Bloomberg has actually had a report come out saying that Xbox Live will be getting Comcast and Verizon access, and they expect HBO, Crackle, Bravo, Sci-Fi, Love Film, and a whole lot more to be signing up right behind them when they release this. I mean, this is looking really cool, the fact that they get live TV on Xbox Live itself. It's going to be a really cool thing. I can't wait to see what it is. What do you think about that, JJ, since you actually do watch, or since your wife does watch Netflix on your console?
Well, something that we have already decided we were going to do was, we have a deal through TELUS where they can actually hook up TELUS TV to the Xbox, which allows us to watch, you know, any of the programs on TELUS TV, whether it's, you know, any of our cable channels, which is HBO and all the other ones. So, I mean, all I got to do is really have them come up and mod the Xbox, which is another reason I bought a new one, so that I can mod the old one and let her have that running on the Xbox upstairs that is in our bedroom. So, I mean, that's nice. Kind of the plan right now. So, I mean, the live TV really doesn't affect me. Like, once I get it hooked up to TELUS TV, I pretty much have that anyway, so...
That's cool. Definitely something different to have out there.
Oh, yeah.
There was a game that was announced about 4 years ago, I guess. I may be a little low on that date. It could be about two or three. Called I Am Alive. This was a post-apocalyptic game that was coming out that was supposed to allow players to try to survive as an everyman in this place. It's basically a romp through a city, Chicago, which is the rumored city, after it has undergone a devastating catastrophe. This game will be coming out this winter on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network, but there will be no PC version, unfortunately. This game is looking very good, and I'm really curious to see how this game is coming out, especially after the last demo that they had of it at E3 last year. There was no big announcement for it this year, so I'm really wanting to see what they're going to have of it this year. Last bit of news that I have on this, and this is something really cool. They're releasing a Metal Gear Solid HD Collection Limited Edition. There's no pricing details that have been announced, but in the limited edition, it's new box art by the series artist Yoji Kanwa, an exclusive art book. I mean, it looks really cool. It comes in a box, and the box actually has Snake. Not Snake. I don't know why I just said that. Has the main character on the front, and he's looking at a group of guys. I mean, it looks really good, and I might actually pick this up when it comes out. So, that's all I got.
Really? That's all you got?
Is there something I missed? I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I did hear some news on WWE 12 that they've got a big... the road to WrestleMania is supposed to encompass about 12 hours.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. And from what I understand, it's... it's not like a generic, you know, Randy Orton road to WrestleMania. It's like you start off as one person, and then you play a few matches as that person, and then you end up playing a couple matches as somebody else. And it kind of escalates into different things, so you finally get to a character, I guess. But it sounds very intriguing.
Sounds definitely a little different. I'm a little curious about that, because I haven't heard anything about that yet.
And I don't have any other really gaming news, per se, but I did want to say that I finally beat Alpha Protocol yesterday.
What'd you think?
I actually liked the fucking game, you know, and it got a fucking shitty review when it came out earlier this year. And I got to be honest, I'm actually going to go through and play again, just to make some different choices. But I really enjoyed it. I mean, now granted, spoiler alert, I didn't kill Westridge at the end of the game. I didn't rescue Mina. I did kill Leland. I killed Darcy. I killed Parker. So, I mean... So, I'll have to go back and play it again. But I played as... I played as a freelancer the first time out. This time, I'm going to go in and play as a operative. So, we'll see how it turns out.
Well, right now, I'm playing Gears of War 3. I know Charles is all about that game right now. And I'm really, I was trying to finish it before tonight so I could actually talk about it a little bit more. But I think I'm on the final area where I'm actually rescuing somebody. And the game has really taken a lot out of me just after playing the game itself. I mean, I loved Gears. I wasn't a huge fan of it, but it's pulled me into it. And I've definitely loved playing it ever since. The game is really intense. It's a lot of fun. It's very enjoyable. I'm really going to enjoy finishing it up and trying out the rest of the modes. I've been playing four player co-op, and now I got the chance to play it by myself. So I'm definitely enjoying the game. Hopefully next week I'll have it finished, and me and Charles can actually talk about it next week, because I know Charles really loves that game.
Oh yeah.
So we'll definitely have to talk about that next week.
He's a Gears of War whore.
And he's a Mac whore also, from what I've heard. But there's a comic book series, a graphic novel series that I've been reading the past few weeks. And I really think that if it was given a chance by a more wider audience, it would be loved. It's actually called Gotham Central. Have you ever heard of it, JJ?
No, hang on a second. I just want to say that Bronx is talking shit in the chat room about having cyber sex with my Xbox. I hope you're having safe sex. And if you can actually stick your dick in the drive of my Xbox, it's smaller than we thought, buddy.
Oh, my.
I don't want no damn virus in my Xbox, so keep that shit to yourself.
Have you heard of Gotham Central, though?
I have not. What is Gotham Central?
Gotham Central is basically Gotham without... without Batman being the forefront. Gotham Central is about the police officers of the MCU Major Crimes Unit that Gordon used to head up, which you see a lot of in the newer trilogy. Gordon has retired. Gordon is now a professor at the college in Gotham, and we're following the newer group that has just come in after Gordon has retired. It explains a lot of stuff in the comic book, like... the police department is actually not allowed to touch the bat signal. They're not allowed to turn it on because they were thrown at...
I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off. I love you to death, man. I hate to cut you off. Bronx says it's about 3 inches long and a head like a house cat. Bronx, that's actually your house cat, dude. You just can't see the little motherfucker. Oh, moving on.
They explain why the police department can't touch the bat signal, or why they cannot turn it on, because a criminal actually accused them of sticking the bat on him. So they have to have an outside civilian, which is their intern, basically turn it on for them, and then the intern has to leave so that the detectives or the commissioner can talk to Batman. In the comic, the first comic they had Mr. Freeze, they had Two-Face. There was bits and pieces of Batman. He went after Mr. Freeze, and he helped capture Two-Face. In the second one I'm reading right now, it has Joker, which is absolutely awesome. And they also have Firebug. I mean, the comic has really been really enjoyable. And it has a lot of drama in it, just like any other comic would. And if anyone ever gets a chance and sees it in their local bookstore, definitely pick it up. It's very funny. Not funny, excuse me. It's very good, dark, noir-style comic. It's definitely a good comic to check out if you ever got the time. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just reading the comments here.
I know you are.
Bronx is just digging a hole, man. He really is. At least this is his comment. At least I'm getting some pussy, JJ. Last time I checked, I was too. Mine wasn't of the feline variety.
We're screwing when we need them.
Stroke that cat, Bronx. It's okay.
Bronx, wow. Bronx.
It's all uncomfortable now. I don't want to talk about my sex life.
No.
Just know that I have one. Anyway, any movie news that you've heard?
Off the top of my head, there's nothing really. No, I'm trying to think of something and I can't think of anything. I'm actually bringing up IGN now just to see if there's possibly something that I did miss. Movie news. Is there something you've heard?
No, I heard something about the Mass Effect movie. That it's not really going to follow any of the games.
Well, that would be a first.
And that there's not going to be a female Commander Shepard.
In the movie?
Well, yeah, that's a given, though. I would think that they would go with the male Shepard before the female Shepard any day of the week.
Yeah. By the way, if you didn't know, today Transformers 3 came out.
Which is a great movie. I would go buy the DVD, but I'm waiting for like the deluxe edition that's got like extra footage and shit.
Well, actually bought the Blu-ray edition today.
See, I like to have like I like to have extras. I like to have more than just the movie, but Transformers 3 was fucking fantastic. God damn, that's some loud music. The rest of it's kind of nice and docile, and this one's all fucking, you know, like right in your fucking face, jamming out.
Oh yeah. I think this is what I was looking for earlier. Apparently, Steven Spielberg has got some new films coming up. One of them is called Lincoln, which I don't think. Yeah, it's just called Lincoln. Apparently, it's about Abraham Lincoln.
Well, I know there was one called Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which I'd like to see.
Which is a book. Which is a book that actually is very good. I had a chance to read it, and it was actually a very good book. I was very surprised by that. Since we are talking about books, this week is Banned Book Week. Go to your favorite library, wherever you are, and check out any book that has been banned and find out the reason why it was banned. A lot of books were banned for massive reasons. You never know what you're going to find in a library. So go support your local library and get a banned book. There's
your public service announcement. Sean with his PSA.
Yeah. Especially since I work at a library.
Well, there you go.
Apparently, there's a choice between three directors to pick up the Twilight Zone film. Chris Nolan, Michael Bay, or Cuaron, Alfonso Cuaron, who helms Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Cool. I did hear something about the sequel to Thor.
Okay.
It's in the works, and apparently they have a director for it.
Who's the director?
The director is not going to be Kenneth Branagh, believe it or not.
Really?
It's going to be Patty Jenkins, who directed the movie Monster, which starred... what's her fucking name? That hot as fuck... just Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
When she was made up real fucking, you know, like it was a true story, Monster was. And she played the main character. But, yeah, Patty Jenkins, who just kind of sounds like a regular, average, everyday person. Like, you know, I went to high school with Patty Jenkins, is the director for Thor 2. So, should be interesting, to say the least.
IGN has released their top 25 fantasy films. I'm trying to find out what number one is, because they actually made it into a video. But number two was Pan's Labyrinth. Number three was Wizard of Oz. Number four was Princess Bride. And number five is Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
You know, back to the Abe Lincoln thing. I was watching, and this is one of my favorite movies. I love Robin Hood Men in Tights. With have you ever seen that movie?
What's the film?
Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Oh, yes.
With
Mel Brooks, of course.
Cary Elwes, fucking Dave Chappelle, you know, Richard Lewis. So many fucking great characters in there. And then they got that character Blinken. And when we were talking about Abe Lincoln, I was just thinking, Abe Lincoln! Fucking Dave Chappelle has to fucking, you know, pump up his Nikes to fucking fight. That shit was great.
Yeah.
Great fucking flick.
They sent out beta invitations for Gotham City Imposters today.
Abe Lincoln!
The beta does not officially start until October 5th, and will end on October 9th. So there's a possibility of 4 days being involved in this beta that does not release until next fall.
So interesting.
Definitely. It's looking like a good game. A lot of people are calling it Team Fortress, but with Batman and Joker imposters. So I'm really hoping to see what that's all about.
Well, cool, man. Anything else before we wrap things up?
Not gaming or movie-wise, but a lot of people have been asking me about the picks. And believe me, after listening to the beginning of WNL this past Monday, I'm working on something new. I want to talk to you, JJ, later on in the week after this Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, which I will be taking picks as normal. I'm working on something brand new that I'm hoping will help things and push things along a little bit better than it has. A lot of people have been asking about Sin Cara's match, the Sin Cara versus Sin Cara. If you enter your pick, I need you to put the blue mask or the black mask. That's how I'm taking the Sin Cara pick. If you put Sin Cara, I'm not taking your pick. Believe me on that. So wow. Get your picks into me, and we'll see how that goes.
On a related note, I do love the new look of the Sin Cara.
See, I haven't had a chance. I didn't get a chance to watch SmackDown tonight, and I heard he debuted in New York tonight.
I'm watching the replay right now, and he's showing up on the screen. I like the black Sin Cara look. It's pretty kick-ass. I guess we'll call him Hunakara.
You know what? That actually does look pretty cool.
Hunakara. I'll tell you what, before we wrap things up, let's go to the phone lines really quick, because I got a jet in like 5 minutes. So welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
It's Charles.
What's up, dude?
What's going on? I wanted to say about Battlefield 3. Sean, did you get a chance to play Battlefield 3 beta yet?
I was in the alpha, and I got a chance to play the alpha. I haven't been in the beta yet.
I'm still waiting for the free Omega
beta going on in all the systems right now for anybody to just go download it and play it. And the gameplay of that game is good, but I'm really surprised at how many problems this game has this late. The game comes out like next month.
Yep.
And it has this many problems. I mean, there's stuff where the sound just completely goes out. You have no sound in the game at all until you restart the beta. There's stuff where you glitch through the map and you can run around with only from your body sticking up out of the map from the waist up and still be able to shoot people and move. If you prone and lay down on the ground, you'll disappear through the map on certain areas. It's got a lot of problems. I'm really surprised. One of my buddies was playing and he actually didn't do anything and just run around playing. And next thing you know, his game's in black and white for a whole round.
On a side note, sorry guys, I hate to interrupt you. On a side note, Bronx says JJ's leaving home. His Xbox is fair game. Gets lube. Bronx, here's the honest to God's truth. The new Xbox is still in the box. You know what that means? If it's in a box, you're never going to touch it. It's pretty safe where it's at. So upon further review, Bronx, box, not going to happen.
Yeah, Brock says to mess around with any kind of box.
Exactly.
Anything except else? The box that he's sitting in.
Oh, there you go.
So, Charles, let me ask you this, because next week I do want you to come on the show, if it's okay with JJ, and talk about Gears 3 with
me. No, he can't come on the fucking show. Fuck him.
Darn. What have you thought about Gears 3 so far?
Well, first of all, it is the sequel to Gears 2.
Fuck you.
Which is the sequel to Gears 1.
Fuck you,
yes,
too.
That is true. That is true. And by the way, Battlefield 3 is a sequel to Battlefield 2, if you didn't know this. But Gears 3 is
awesome.
A true
sequel.
Well, true, because, I mean, it's more like Bad Company games than it is Battlefield 1 and 2. But anyways, Gears 3, I've enjoyed it a lot. I beat the story in one day. I mean, if you sit there and you play it, I actually played through the whole thing, then went to sleep and woke up and played the rest of it later on.
I'm on Azura. I just rescued somebody. We're not going to spoil it. No spoilers. I just rescued somebody. How far am I till the end?
Well, what act you in?
I'm in Azura. That's the only thing I remember.
Okay,
Act 5, Ascension.
Oh, well, Act 5, there's only 5 acts, and there's 6 chapters per act, I believe. So whatever chapter you're in, once you get to 6, you're done.
Yeah, I think I got, like, 2 more chapters left.
Yeah, once you play Chapter 6, you're done. But, I mean, Gears of War 3, it's my favorite shooter, but I'm really glad that this is the last one for a long time. I mean, I'm not glad that it's the last one for a long time, but I'm glad that it's got all the stuff in it that it has for being the last one in the trilogy. Just because, I mean, whether you're a co-op person, a single-player person, whether you're a multiplayer person, wants to play online versus people, they got everything for everybody. So you can co-op 4 players through the story. You can co-op with 5 people on Beast Mode or Horde and play against the AI. Or you can go on and play versus 5-on-5. And, I mean, they got something for everybody, so I've played all the modes, and I am really freaking excited about what they've done here. And Beast Mode is just fun to get in there with 5 people and actually be able to play as some of the big locusts and stuff like that. That's pretty cool. And just go in there and just wreak havoc.
I haven't had a chance to do that. I know that me and a couple guys did Horde Mode for a little bit, and that we actually skipped ahead to level 50 and was then decimated.
So, yeah, I mean, there's some pretty big... That's cool about Horde Mode, too, is they got the fortifications now, and They actually have on the last waves, they have boss battles now, which is cool.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I mean, you can't in Beast Mode, you can't be a Brumac or anything like that, but the biggest creature you can build up to, you can be a Berserker. And I mean, anybody that's ever played Gears 1 or Gears 3 now would love to be a Berserker, and it's awesome that you can actually work your way up and be one in Beast Mode and just tear through a whole bunch of human cog guys. It's pretty cool.
That sounds pretty cool.
Well, guys, that's gonna do it for this week on Unplugged, but I do want to thank Charles Shane for jumping aboard and talking to us about some Gears of War and some Battlefield 3. I want to thank the sensational Sean for doing a very good video game segment tonight, and I want to thank myself for doing the rest of the show, because I did quite well on my own this week. So, Krelly, you might be out of a job soon.
Oh.
With that being said, wait, the fucking foreign kid just turned 21. What does he need my show for? I mean, he's out getting drunk. He's out doing who knows what with God knows what. I mean, hey, he might actually be getting laid, unlike Bronx, who's just laid out on the floor. But anyway, with that being said,
probably might
guys,
actually be laid out in jail because he stuck Mickey James too much.
Oh, that's true. But we'll see you next week for another edition of Unplugged. Don't forget, Sunday night, we'll be back with Sunday Night Showdown right here on the SNS Radio Network. Covering Hell in a Cell. See you Monday night for Wrestling News Live. With that being said, I'm JJ Sexay, and you've just been unplugged. Good night, everybody.
U4L, unplugged for life.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass, 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, draining.
drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are. As my memory rests, but never forgets what I lost. Wake me up when September ends.
I just want everybody to wake me up when Bronx is done trying to cut me down. It's just not working, buddy. And the sad thing is Bronx is still trying to cut me down in the chat room. Give it up, Stevie Wonder. Hey, why don't you grab some keys and go for a drive? You can't be any worse than Jimmy Uso.